Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Tuesday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. Me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, the blogs go up over there on Wednesdays and Saturday morning, so look for something popping up there, sometime tomorrow morning. Just while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you were over there, well, hey, we'd greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is, I know you know this one already, at Sports Time Radio. Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan Z Man with three E's.
So, all right, Dan, I've been watching, little bits and pieces of spring training here and there, and I've got to tell you, I really hate this stupid where one team can call the inning after the pitcher throws 20 pitches rule. Today in the White Sox game, the White Sox are having a pretty solid inning. Jose Abreu comes up with the bases loaded, the pitcher hits 20 innings, and I forgot. I think they're playing the Rangers. Well, their manager comes out and goes, okay, that's it. Inning's over. Great. That's exciting. I want to watch that.
So wait, I'm the coach. I'm Lou. Lou, who the hell is this White Sox coach right now? Why can't I even think of
so, Tony La Russa?
Why? I was close. See, I got a Lou in there. I'm Tony La Russa. better yet, I'm Joe Madden. And Jose Quintana just threw 27 pitches. I can literally walk out there and be like, inning's over with?
Yeah, any time after the 20th pitch, you can walk out and call the inning off. No matter what situation, no matter what, like I said, the White Sox had the bases loaded, Jose Abreu up. I was excited to see him bat. Next thing I know, the inning's over. What the hell you mean the inning's over? And then, of course, Jason Benatti and Steve Stone go in and explain this rule, and then Steve Stone did his best to defend it. Explain how they don't have a lot of pitch camp because the minor leaguers are at a different camp. So you just don't have the unlimited number of pitchers like they used to, which obviously is complete BS, but he's doing his best to cover it. So I was just dumbfounded. They're all walking off the field, and I'm like, wait, what just happened? He didn't get the hit. But, yeah, it was over. So... I didn't realize before that the manager on if they want to play 5, 6, or 7 innings.
I mean, we talked about this before. I mean, the full 9 innings in a spring training game, whatever. It's not necessary. I don't know the rules and COVID laws in Arizona or Florida, which I'm sure a lot of that has to come into play, but don't you get better in your craft when you practice it and do it consistently? The way the system is right now, if they're just going to continuing, cutting stuff down like it's a little league game, won't these pitchers in essence almost turn out to be like Jake Arrieta when, you know, his holdout, you know, his late signing? And, you know, again, I'm not picking on Jake Arrieta. I'm just pointing out the fact that his delayed spring training, you know, carried over into the regular season. So if these guys aren't getting all that that they're used to, isn't that going to carry over? And, you know, we're going to continue to see, you know, we're going to see just monster ass kicking in April by the hitters.
So, yeah, you know, like early on, you know, like this being the first full week of spring training, you know, I don't have a problem with that, but if we're a week before a season and you can't let your guy go out there to figure out how to get out of an inning when he's in trouble, bottom line is your team isn't going to be very good. You know, because your pitchers are going to go out there and they're going to get into trouble and just immediately start looking into the dugout because they don't know what to do or how to get out of, you know, how to get out of the inning, you know, when it works out. And, you know, this is something the Red Sox did this, I believe it was yesterday. Garrett Richards was just getting bombed. And after 23 pitches, they stopped the inning. Now, oddly, they sent him back out for the second inning, and he worked a 1-2 inning. So, you know, just one of those odd situations. You know, he loaded the bases, he walked a run in, and Alex Cora came out and said, "Hey, okay, great, this game's over. See you next inning. It's our turn to bat." So, you know, and this humorously reminded me, Dan, many years ago when I could actually run, I played in a softball league, 7-inning league, where the rule was if your team was losing in the bottom of the sixth, you know, if you made your 3 outs, the game went right to the bottom of the seventh to try to speed things up, to see if you could come back and win. And then if you pulled ahead, that other team was allowed to bat in what technically was the top of the seventh inning. Imagine trying to keep track of that. You know, what inning is it? The top of the what? The bottom of the two?
That doesn't make sense. Like, why not just call it a game?
So, yeah, it was just kind of, you know, and that, you know, and it just seemed, you know, this seemed really stupid to me because it's like, okay, well, that guy just threw, like in Garrett Richards' case, 23 pitches. Okay, well, maybe he's done. No, he came back out for another inning. So obviously he wasn't to his pitch limit. Basically what it was is Alex Cora just didn't want to see him get lit up, so he took him out of the game, or ended the inning, I should say. You know, that's all it was. You know, and it's not like you're playing to win these games or anything. I mean, nobody gives a crap who wins a spring training game. But, yeah, I mean, just, you know, we're going to complain about pitchers not being able to go deep in games and, you know, not being able to do this or guys getting hurt. You wonder why this is the reason we don't stretch guys out. So yeah, it's just the, you know, it's just the stupidest thing in the world that, you know, I mean, it's almost like they're trying to conform their MLB, their spring training games to television. Guys, no, a full spring training game. Sorry.
Well, and that's what I was going to say, Big Jack, is why, you know, again, you know, maybe it is for TV because, like you said, who the hell sits through and watches the entire game? And, I mean, they kind of continue to go this route. I mean, what is the point of watching spring training anyway? I mean, why not just pull a, you know, do like old Rocky Wirtz and only the fans that show up get to see it? I mean, because don't get me wrong, I'm still waiting to see, you know, how my MLB.TV subscription is going to go. You know what I'm talking about. Discounts and how that plays out. But, you know, regardless, like, I tried so hard, Big Jack, over the last, you know, few years that we've been subscribing to sit through and watch spring training games. But, you know, even when I put them on, you know, after, you know, for me as a Cub fan, you know, especially after the World Series, you know, you get in, you turn the game on, Brian Rizzo and Javi and Schwarber all bat, and then they make a great double play in the infield, and then it's the end of the third, and these guys are all gone. And here I, you know, here we are watching, quote-unquote, the future, you know, of the Cubs organization. But, you know, I mean, it's just not something that you want to continue to watch. So it makes sense if they're trying to do it for TV, but at the same time, the thing that I don't understand, and I think you're kind of in the same boat, is this product isn't really designed for television, so why do you continue to try to, you know, push it like that?
Yeah, you know, like I'll watch an at bat here or an at bat there, or if there's a pitcher I want to see throw, I'll watch him work his inning. But, you know, and even when some of the younger guys come up, you know, like today I was lucky enough to turn the White Sox game back on just before Andrew Vaughn hit a 3-run homer. So, you know, it was cool to see that, you know, because he's supposed to be a, you know, a big-time power hitter here in just a few years. So, you know, I was like, oh, okay, cool. I'll check out this at bat. But, yeah, you know, I mean, you know, the obvious guys who aren't going to make the team and they're just kind of there as bodies. And especially this year that they don't have access to every single minor league player in their system. It's a little more interesting because the majority of the time it's a player you've at least heard of. You know, it's not the 20-year-old kid who you're going, wait, who's this guy and he quit where last year? So, you know, that's cool. But then, you know, it seems like more and more we're just trying to – everybody's afraid of guys getting hurt. And unfortunately, it's part of the game. You know, if a guy's destined to get hurt, he's going to get hurt, whether it be on his 23rd pitch or his 60th pitch. It's going to happen. There's something going wrong in the arm that just gave out. So by shortening it isn't really helping him. You know, I mean, what's one of the way to help build muscle, Dan, right, as a physical trainer, is to fatigue the muscle, right? Am I correct there?
Yeah.
So, you know, that would be a way to strengthen a guy by stretching them out and letting them throw. And if you're, you know, if you're smart about it, just tell him to go out there and throw fastballs, even if he's got to take a little something off it and he's only hitting 89 instead of 95. Let him go out and get his work in. It's freaking crazy.
Well, and that's one of the things that, you know, and I hate to get on the Greg Maddux train and blah, 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 you know. He did it, and no, you know, but it's the truth. I don't understand why it's just pounded into these, let's be honest, you know, not the old guys, but the kids. Why is it pounded into the kids that you're not going to succeed in major leagues as a pitcher unless you can throw 92 to 105 miles an hour? It's just, I don't even know what the word is. It's just stupid. You know, I mean, a guy like Tim Lincecum, you know, when you're standing on the mound, you're raised up a little higher. You're not as big. But, you know, it kind of gives that, because you're coming down on them, you know, there's that little bit of that fear factor, you know, slightly. But then when you've got a guy like Aroldis Chapman on the mound, which I was lucky enough to be in a great position to see him. I mean, he's a monster on that mound. You know, if you can imagine, regardless of the 104-mile-an-hour fastball coming at your head, possibly, not on purpose because he doesn't do that. His control isn't always there, but you know what I mean? This guy is definitely a monster and can be scary on the mound, but at the same token, you know, it's he has enough control of his slider and his fastball to keep it in there. But not every guy that throws 100 miles an hour has that. And, you know, it just doesn't make sense to me why it's got to be, you know, this league, they've turned this league, and I don't know if this is scouting, analytics, or media, but into what I would just call a two-tool league. There's only two options. You either pitch the ball and throw 100, or you hit 100 home runs. You know, there's no the baseball game doesn't fully exist anymore.
The art of baseball overall has been ruined by analytics. You know, I mean, just plain and simple. I mean, you know, we've talked about it a million times. You know, hitting behind a runner. You know, choking up with two strikes, not over swinging. You know, all that's gone because of analytics. You know, and now it's ruining pitching. You know, I mean, you know, how many, you know, every time I hear Brian Kenny say on the MLB Network that wins don't matter for a starter, I want to punch him in the face. Because, you know, if you can get a starter who can give you 5, 6, 7 innings and your team wins, the object of a baseball game is to win it. So if wins don't matter, why are we on track? Let's just give everybody a participant ribbon and send them home at the end of the year and tell them what a great job they did.
God, I had a great analogy for that.
So, you know, it just makes me, you know, nuts. But, you know, another baseball story here, Dan, locally, you know, the Cubs brought back Ryan Tapia, who I believe got an MVP vote last year, either an MVP or a Cy Young vote that somebody said was an accident. But I don't know if I buy that one because the voters are stupid. But to bring it back, they had to remove somebody off the 40-man roster. So they removed a guy today, Dan, that I believe Theo promised us would one day be part of the Cubs starting rotation. Dwayne Underwood Jr. was designated for assignment today, meaning the Cubs have 10 days to trade him, release him, or he can accept a minor league assignment. Now, Dan, Underwood is only 26. He'll be 27 in July. I have a feeling that some other team will probably claim him because, obviously, he's not making much money. You know, he made appearances the last three seasons for the Cubs. Last year he made 17 as a reliever. He was 1-0 with a 5.66 ERA. You know, the promise of him being a starter, you know, let's face it, it never really panned out. And, you know, Dan, to me, this is just another issue of Theo Epstein's weakness in knowing how to draft pitchers, isn't it?
Oh, big time. You know, and it just kind of actually killed me that you said he's only 26 years old. I mean, you know, God, wasn't he drafted in like 12 or 13? So, I mean, we've been waiting for Dwayne for...
Yeah, 2012 he was drafted.
Yeah. So, I mean, we've been waiting for this kid to get an opportunity since then. I mean, he was like one of their high top prospects at the time in 2013, I believe, going into 2013 season. He was probably in their top 10 for pitching because you only had him, Dylan Cease, and a couple, like a handful of other guys. You know, not to mention Vogelbach was in that, you know, kind of that class in 13 that was up there. So it's interesting, to say the least.
So yeah, you know, to me, it's just another failure through the Cubs organization of. Team that, you know, can't develop pitchers. You know, bottom line, no matter what this team does, you know, because remember we were promised, you know, Carl Edwards Jr. was going to start pitching.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden he gets to the major leagues and he's a reliever. And all of a sudden they start talking about, well, you know, he doesn't really have the body type to endear being a starter. And it's like, but
bullshit.
Wait, you had him started all through his minor league career. So, now, you know, and obviously the new hot face is this Adbert Alzolay. I don't even know if I pronounced that right. You know, he's going to get a look in the starting rotation. So, you know, we'll see if maybe he can scrub some of the stink of failure off these Cubs pitching prospects. But, you know, if not, there's not a – well, there's not a lot of hope for this team anyway, so it's not really going to matter. But, you know, they continue to, you know, put their, you know, like their top prospect is a pitcher by the name of Raylan Marquez, who apparently isn't far away. So, you know, I just don't know, you know, but again, I mean, how difficult is it to get excited? Your pitching prospect in Cubs?
It's not exciting. I mean, they definitely blew you up with the hitters. But again, you know, one of the reasons I love baseball is because it's baseball. What do I like about football? It's different than baseball. What is the greatest thing about hockey? Maybe, you know, if you rewound, you know, 25 years and my dad was working his second job, so we never saw him. I could have probably joined hockey. You know, but hockey to me is something I will never do, never be able to do. I don't even know roller skate, so, you know, let's not get into that. But, you know what I mean? Like, these sports are all different, you know, and the NBA. You know, they're all different. The biggest problem, I think, with the other sports is that, well, not even that, they try, you know, with the media, they generalize and they just think sports and they think all sports should be the same. Where, you know, what is it? The top two, one and two in the NBA are probably the only guys that are drafted, whether it's 18, 19, or 20, that are going to play. And we see number two, and he's no longer a Laker, tearing it up in L.A. You know what I mean? So that whole draft him, sign him doesn't always work, whether it's the NBA. I mean, even the NFL, we had to, you know, to talk about it with drafting quarterbacks. You know, the long-lasting quarterbacks, it seems like, are the guys who were drafted late. So trying to replicate what the NBA and the NFL does and drafting guys and implementing them immediately into your major league system is a complete flaw, and you're not recognizing the fact that it's major league baseball. You know, I mean, analytics is huge in major league baseball. What happened when they tried to bring it to the NFL? Oh yeah, the Cleveland Browns did amazing, didn't they? Didn't they go like 0-30 while they had the analytics guy there? And what does he do now? Oh, that's right. He works with who the hell did he work with? That company, that offshore company out of the Caribbean that does analytics. That guy that was with the Browns is there. I think that's a Billy Beane company, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, so just because it works in football doesn't mean it's going to work in baseball. It just does, you know, vice versa. So they need to quit looking at sports as a generalized thing. You know, you're drafting your scouting techniques for Major League Baseball catcher shouldn't be the same for a center for the NFL. You know what I mean?
So, yeah, no, you know, and again, the one thing analytics doesn't pass is the actual eye test. You know, I mean, just because a guy is hitting all the analytical numbers doesn't mean that they're going to be a quality player. All right. And, you know, again, the one thing analytics can do is it can't break down young players. So by using it to try to predict what your younger players are going to do is what fails it as a whole. You know, I mean, I, you know, obviously, there, you know, there are some good things with it. It can help you in certain ways. But it's not the end-all, be-all that, well, basically Brian Kenny makes it out to be on MLB Network every night. And obviously any fan who watches that, you know, they're going to drink the Kool-Aid. I mean, this is their guy. This is what he does. So they're all in on this analytic thing. You got to remember, you know, and that the thing that you just can never forget about this is analytics was made up by guys who never played the game. Okay, they weren't talented enough to play, I'm guessing, going probably all the way back to a high school level. Obviously, they were incredibly smart because they came up with this system. But you need to be able to factor in a talent level there. And sometimes you can only tell that by looking at a player. So, you know, it's just a situation where they need to find a happy medium. And unfortunately, we're in the spot now where they can't do it. You know, nobody's smart enough to be able to merge the two together right now. So, you know, we just got to kind of wait.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Wasn't the... You know, Bill James with that whole system setting up. But it wasn't a majority of the analytics designed to compare present players with past? I mean, you know, taking Mike Trout and comparing him against Babe Ruth. Isn't, you know, because that you could do. I get that portion of it. You know, but individual stats, while they're fun and exciting, don't win championships. Mike Trout could literally have won the MVP from 2012 until 2020, and that's going to be great for his Hall of Fame resume. But if he had the 2012 through 2020 MVP and retired and was no longer playing this year, and in 2020, whatever the hell, 26, we start discussing his Hall of Fame voting. I'm going to tell you all his accolades. You know, Schaumburg Stu is going to tell you his batting average and his WAR. Mr. Fantasy is going to, you know, tell you some other stats. And what's the first thing you're going to say to all of us? He didn't really make it to the playoffs and didn't really win a World Series.
Yeah, you know, and unfortunately, that no longer means as much to a lot of people because they want to look at those analytical numbers and they don't care about win totals. They don't care about where a team finishes. You know, it's strictly, oh, well, how do his stats look? You know, what are his, you know, what's his WAR? Oh, great. That's fantastic. So we no longer care about winning and losing, basically. You know, and that's, you know, and that's where the sad part about, you know, where analytics comes in. And I believe the Bill James is much different than what they use now. I don't know that for a fact. But I believe, you know, all the stuff obviously he did, they based what they were doing off of. But this is a little deeper dive into what he was trying to do. And, you know, even, to, you know, and the odd part about it, like even his system, there were quite a few teams who didn't take him seriously. But yet for some reason, they all bought into analytics. You know, I don't know which team it was first that must have managed to win with it. Now, you know, it's a copycat league like every sport is, you know, especially at the professional level. So immediately if they win with it, you have to do it. So, that's just kind of how it went. And now we're down this slippery slope. And unfortunately, there doesn't appear to be any turning back. And it's just frightening because in reality they're killing baseball, because you got to realize they want to apply baseball to a younger audience. Well, no kid is going to sit there and watch an inning go 1-2-3 without any of the batters putting the ball actually in fair territory. Sure, maybe they hit a deep foul ball here and there, but then they struck out. And the next guy came up and struck out. And what did the next guy do? Oh, yeah, he fouled off a pitch, but then he struck out. Boy, that's the most exciting inning you've ever seen, isn't it, Dan?
Yeah.
You know, so why? Right, you know, I mean, now it's one thing if the pitcher goes out and mows guys down and gets a 1-2-3 inning. It's another thing if you got three schmucks up there whiffing at pitches that, you know, are bouncing to the plate or over their head, you know, stuff like that, because they're too busy trying to hit home runs. So it's ridiculous. And then they finally hit that home run, and too bad, your team's down 8-0 and you just hit a solo bomb. But we're going to feature your solo bomb on MLB Tonight, make it look like you accomplished something. No, your team got killed because you struck out with the bases loaded because you were trying to hit a home run and put a ball in play.
Well, you know, I always crack the jokes about, you know, the biggest homer in all of baseball, the Hawk, Harrelson. And, I mean, you know, he had his catch lines. And as Sox fans, you know, they loved it. But I'm like, come on now. You cannot tell me that, number one, it doesn't get old. Okay, you know, it is exciting when your team hits the home run. But when, and this is not a lie, and it's not, this is not one of those knocks on the White Sox, but, you know, Steve Stone's in the booth with Hawk Harrelson. It's the bottom of, like, the seventh or eighth inning. The White Sox are down by more than 10 runs. And Frank Thomas, no, I'm just kidding, not Frank Thomas, but, you know, somebody steps to the plate and hits a solo shot out of the park. And what does the Hawk do? The Hawk announces this call. And, you know, maybe you're right. Maybe this is just designed for television to give those White Sox highlights. But he gives the call like it's the bottom of the 12th inning. And the White Sox just hit a grand slam to win the game. You know what I mean? Like, come on now. You've got to have some cutoff. You know, I'm not saying he shouldn't have been excited that the White Sox hit the home run. But come on now, dude. You went from a 12-point deficit to 11. Little extreme.
Yeah, and unfortunately, that's how every announcer is now. You're not, you know, with Vin Scully gone, you're not going to find an announcer that isn't over the top when the team they work for scores.
Yeah, but I mean, Steve Stone just sat there, and I can only imagine him rolling his eyes because, well, that's what I was doing.
Oh, I'm sure, but you know, a lot of the colors that, it, I mean, exception of Jim Shea, who was down with Lancaster Cubs, it's just, again, it falls into very much politics. It's the nature of the game. And, you know, my bet is whoever owns the team's probably happy for doing it. They want them to make it seem like it's exciting and they're going to come back, even though instead of, you know, 12-1, it's now 12-1. So, you know, but Dan, obviously, you know, with baseball, our fantasy stuff is right around the corner. I think our draft is just, what, 3 weeks away, 4 weeks away? It's the end of the month, so it's getting close, and I found some rankings today that I thought were pretty interesting, especially because earlier you mentioned Mike Trout. Dan, on this list here, this list includes 800 players. Believe it or not, Mike Trout is fourth. Can you give me the three players in front of him off the top of your head?
Mookie Betts.
So he's at three.
Fernando Tatis.
He's at two. So who's the number one player on this list?
Man, I'm Big Jack 500 guys, and I got to pick the number one guy.
Say you had the fourth pick and Tatis, Betts, and Trout were gone, who would you take?
Manny Machado.
No. Manny's way down the list. Let me see.
JT,
I don't know.
JT Realmuto.
Oh, you can stop
Baez.
That. My guess Javi is Baez. Realmuto is probably the number one ranked. Manny's at 20. That's where Manny is. Number one on this list, man, and I was kind of surprised. I don't think I would have gotten this either if you would have done this to me. Ronald Acuna Jr. is number one player on this list.
Wow.
I got to tell you, while they point out he does have 40-40 potential, and he's obviously a first-round pick, I don't know if I buy him as one. You?
No. No offense, but...
Yeah.
If I'm in the number 18-19, I'm definitely there. I'm grabbing him. But
oh, I was
if I'm number
he
one...
Was like,
if what?
I'm taking him if I'm like five and he's there, six, I would probably take him. So...
I guess the scenario would have to come up, but I just, no. If I'm number one, no, I'm not going with him. I'm going with the three guys I named. Well, the two.
Yeah, and then the first option on this list, six, Dan. I'll tell you that it's not Clayton Kershaw, is it?
James Paxton?
No, God, no, I'm good. He's not even on the list, and there's 800 players on this list. So, come on, this should be kind of obvious for you.
The what? You Darvish? I don't know.
No, but you is actually 19, believe it or not. Your guy, Lucas,
what number am I
comes in at 17. You're looking, he's the number one pitcher on the list. He's sixth overall. Here, I'll narrow it down. He pitches for one of the teams because they're actually one and two as pitchers on this list.
Wait, say that again. I'm picking.
He pitches for a New York team. The New York pitcher, one is the number one starting pitcher. The other guy is number eight and the two starting pitcher.
Oh, so that would be the two-time Cy Young Award winner.
Believe it or not, Jacob DeGrom. He's actually the second starting pitcher. This ranks Garrett Cole ahead of him.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's right. I forgot he's in New York.
So, yeah. Pretty, some pretty interesting choices, as you go down and kind of peruse it, to kind of see where they drop guys in, and especially where they drop some of the younger guys in. Here, Realmuto is at 46. Dan. He is the ranked catcher. So,
I was just being smart-ass on that one.
Looking for the number one reliever doesn't come into 61. I'm not going to make you try to guess the reliever. I'll just give that to Liam Hendricks. So...
Oh, the White Sox have two. Yeah, the thing that hurts me about Giolito is I'm not going to get him in the Snake League anymore.
No, you don't think so? You think before you pick? You might have to pick him earlier than normal. So.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be gone unless I get the number one pick, but I still will end up going with a hitter.
They have him 17. So if you get in the top 10, if especially in our league, you probably have to pay. So.
Yeah, I mean, it just depends. I mean, for whatever reason with the Snake League, I randomly get picked first or last. No. I usually get picked first or dead center in the middle, so then I'm bored for half the draft.
Yeah. You know, unfortunately, with a 20-team league, you end up bored for half the draft. You know, it's one of those things where it's kind of like, I picked, and now, you know, now I got to wait for every schmuck to sit there and let his clock run out because he's not paying attention. They signed off or whatever.
Yeah, but I am all set, Big Jack. I did get my work gave some additional relief funds, so I've got my third 24-inch monitor set up, so this draft is baseball. I'm scheduling, I'm putting it on the calendar, making sure my wife knows, I'm out. Well, I'm not out. I'm downstairs for Friday and Saturday. Keep that baby inside you for at least 3 more days.
Yeah.
You know, before, you know, because I guess I'll have to hold her hand and do my draft at the same time. That'll be fun. She'll be all drugged up anyway, so. Not that she does it on her own, of course, people I'm talking about, that epidural. Big Jack, but I did quickly want to mention, you know, like, you usually give us the plug. I haven't checked. I think both of our leagues are full.
Yeah.
I, you know, if anyone's interested, I'll have to throw it out there again, and I'll have to make a schedule and start doing that every day. I did start a new league this year, just kind of for fun. I wasn't sure how to turn it into a money thing, but maybe I'll look into that on FanDuel at a later next season after I get this kind of together. But it's a home run only. So we've got set up for 20 teams. If it makes it, we're at 4 now, so we only need 16 more. I don't know. I thought it was pretty cool. It was something my dad did, you know, working on the docks, you know, one of those things all season. We used to do a home run derby. Of course, as a 10, 11, 12-year-old kid, I just picked the guys I really liked as opposed to who was going to win. So I never won that. But, no, you know, I did the numbers, and even with a 20-team league and the amount of hitters I put in there, you know, everyone's in a good spot. So, you know, you're obviously going to have your 40-plus and then your 20 guys getting hits down there. So, and then there's extra points for grand slams. You know, we'll see how things go. Hopefully we can get some more people in. Otherwise, the four of us are all guaranteed to win, right? Except for that fourth guy. No trophy for fourth place.
So, well, you know, and I do post the information on the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. So that goes out through, you know, our Twitter and all that stuff. So you can, you know, it's free to sign up. So, you know, feel free to jump in and, you know, it should, you know, it'll be interesting. I haven't done anything like this in a long time. So it'll be fun to check out. And, you know, what you got to do, Dan, is you got to copy the link and then email it to all the guys who joined the baseball league, you know, so they can take a look at it and see if it's something they want to do. And, you know, email it to Mr. Fantasy.
Oh, should I include him? Or, yeah, I did reach out to – I did put that in, but I'll do it again in a week or this week for the guys in our league. I know it's hard to add another draft on, and it's the Sunday before our draft, so it's, you know, technically a week before the season starts, but I'm not expecting a whole lot of, you know, negativity or out players within that week. I was going to set it to, you know, that's you draft and that's your team, but I figured it would be a little bit more difficult. So, you know, just kind of updated things, but I did make it set where we only submit a lineup once a week. So, you know, the fact that we're in two other leagues, I figured with the home run, just, you know, set it and forget it every week. And, you know, and it's more about having fun. You know, that's what it's about, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, with a home run league, it's easier to just do it the once a week. You know, that's, you know, it's just making sure you remember to go in and do it. You know, that's always the tough part. Because now it runs, does it, it's Sunday through Sunday or Sunday through Saturday, or do you know how it runs yet?
I think it's Sunday through Sunday. So you can set, you have to set your lineups on Monday. You know, that was the only thing I did find interesting with Yahoo is you don't really, there's not much option. It's basically the one day a week or the way you have it set up for the other league.
Yeah. But yeah, well, you know, since we're on fantasy, how did your basketball and your hockey roll out there last week?
Oh, I got just annihilated in hockey. Yeah, there's really not much to talk about there. I mean, it was a nice 4-13 loss for me there. So it's, I don't know. You know, I've tried to do things, update, you know, pick up guys, drop guys, but no matter what I do, it just doesn't seem to be working. You know, we're in week 10 for the NBA, which is amazing. I only lost by 2 points, but, you know, that's the thing that's been sucking lately for me, Big Jack, is my losses have been 1-2 points. I mean, I'm going to have to go look back for to see who the dead teams are and hope that I've got one coming up because I've dropped down to number 7. I'm probably in one of the tougher divisions this year as we've got, you know, 2, 5, 7, and 8 in our division. You know, the way that works out in your division, it's just you and the lead guy. So, you know, I mean, it's one of those seasons where, you know, until they get this COVID stuff, I guess, under control or whatever, it's going to make baseball very interesting too, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, you know, depending on how they handle things, you know, I've noticed the NBA is very quick. Well, the NBA and the NHL, I should say, have both been very, very quick to cancel games, which is the whole game. You know, if we're going to make these all up, it's going to be really interesting at the end of the season because you may have teams that fantasy almost have an unfair advantage because they're going to get so many more games. So it's just kind of like, hey, what? I'm playing how many games this week? So we'll have to cover that. Well, I don't know otherwise. You know, there's really not much they can do if they want to play the same amount of games.
Yeah, well, I meant mean, you know, the leagues, Pfizer, all those people. I need to get this all kind of.
It makes it to try to figure out what they're going to do, how they're going to do it, all that stuff. But hopefully, I just thought today that I believe that it's Texas now where they've removed the mask mandate and they're going back to what seems to be a more normal life. They, you know, they said restaurants. Well, they didn't mention sporting events. So we'll have to see how long before they're allowing that. So hopefully, you know, we're on the right side of this. And, you know, unfortunately, it looks like it may be something we may have to deal with forever, kind of like the flu. You know, just hopefully we can get control of it and, you know, the shots work. You know, it's nice to, you know, to see that. So, you know, we just, you know, just hope for the best.
That's what I'm doing.
So, you know, so you can go back to the office? Is that just what you want? You want to get out of the house and go back to the office?
That part I could do without.
You know, get back daily. That'll be fun for you. Oh, so let's see. I'm trying to think what else is going on. You know, I don't know if there'd been anything gigantic. I did decide, I think I told you, I decided since everybody is sold on Zach LaVine being a superstar, that I was going to make sure that every time the Bulls played, I was going to put a 5-cent FanDuel lineup together. Now I've done this twice and he has sucked both times. So Dan, I'm still not quite convinced that this guy's a superstar. Can you sell me on this one way or the other? Because I luckily enough, I did win money the first time thanks to my other players. But last night he cost me my nickel investment. And unfortunately, I'm afraid that I'm going to end up losing money on this schmuck because everybody seems to think that he's a star and I don't. So can you kind of help me here? I'm starting to feel kind of stupid.
I don't know. I mean, he's the biggest star on the Bulls right now, right? Technically?
Yeah, what's that? No. Well, you know, that's how you look at it. There are also people who like Kobe White. So, yeah. And again, I'm not talking about the biggest star on the Bulls. I'm talking about the guy with a star that you build your team around. This is the kind of guy that they try to sell Zach LaVine. So it doesn't matter that he's the biggest star on the Bulls. That's like saying you were the biggest star in PCW. Okay? So
kind of was.
And, you know, and where's that end up getting you?
All the way to nowhere.
No. So
hey, it got me the opportunity to stand in the locker room with Ric Flair. And for Ric Flair to big time us. Sorry, guys. Ooh, so glad to come out. I don't have time to shake all five of your guys' hands because I'm going on right now. I know that's a horrible Ric Flair impression.
Yeah, that was bad.
I guess he didn't realize that we worked for that company and that he wasn't going on for three more segments, but okay.
Yeah, well, you know, that kind of stuff. You know, you got like that, he doesn't care about anything but really got clears. So, but here you go, Dan. You know, also the Bulls lost by 6 points to the Nuggets. Zach LaVine went 9 of 20 from the field, 1 of 8 from behind the 3-point line.
Ooh.
Only managed to put up 23 points, and the Bulls were a negative 20 while he was on the court. Superstar?
So, I mean, would you equate his performance to LeBron James' flopping acting skills?
No, that doesn't really have to do with it. No.
Sorry, I had to bring it up. I saw a really good one where he barely got even tagged. No, I mean, that's, you know, when are they going to, with that being said, are they going to start incorporating the negative 20 when a guy's on the court? You know, almost like with hockey. Is that going to become a thing? I mean, like you said, everyone – you know, is he a superstar you build a team around? No, I mean, the rumors are that someone's looking for him and the Bulls are going to trade him and whatnot. You know, I don't even know what to say because it's hard with the Bulls. You're not building any superstar around here, are you, anymore?
Well, you know, unfortunately, they didn't manage to get in the draft position to do that. You know, the last 2 years they've been in the lottery and they landed too far down, you know, to where they just couldn't get the guy. You know, I mean, Patrick Williams looks like a nice player, he's not a, he's not going to be an NBA star. I mean, my guess is he'll probably end up being a double-double guy in his career because he can get, you know, 10 points and 10 rebounds a game for you. So that shouldn't be too big of an issue, but that's not superstar level.
No.
You know, I know there are a lot of guys that like Kobe White. I mean, there are a ton of people who think he can be that guy, but I don't know if I buy it. You know, Lauri Markkanen was supposed to be that guy, but he can't stay healthy. So they spent a top 10 pick on Wendell Carter Jr., and it's clear that he's not that guy. So they're, you know, in my opinion, they're still looking for that guy. But everybody I hear, man, you know, local reporters, you know, fans that call into the overnight shows is Zach LaVine is it. So I don't know, Dan, I don't buy it. But they are dead on convinced because he had a 3 or 4 good games in a row where he went over 30 that he's it. So I'm putting my money on him, and he damn well better make me some money.
Now, do you think it's just a matter of that fandom, that wanting to grasp it, be a part of it, you know, so to speak, where you're obviously not going to dog your own team. You know, you don't want to become the Indians fan. Randy Quaid, I always say Dennis, and everyone gets mad. Randy Quaid, you don't want to become him. But at some token, do you think it's a little bit too optimistic? I mean, throwing out numbers that a guy went 0-for-8 behind the 3-point line, I mean, you know, let's be honest, I wouldn't, my first thought when I think of LeBron James isn't 3-pointers, but I still think he would definitely do a lot better than 0-for-8, you know. Things like that, and obviously it's you don't want to compare Zach LaVine to LeBron James, but he is kind of that standard. But at the same time, like you said, a guy went a couple nights over 30. What about, you know, D Rose and Jimmy hitting 50? You know, things like that, isn't that what gets you to that level to where you start to become that superstar, not just because you won a slam dunk contest?
Well, you know, the problem we seem to run into here in Chicago is we love the fact that at one point in time we won. And the perfect example of that, I've mentioned before that I can only listen to local sports radio overnight in my office. It's the only station that'll come in. He spent an hour on the 85 Bears. Dan, that was how long ago? 36 years now, that open, an hour of an overnight radio broadcast was done this morning on the 85 Chicago Bears and how great they were. He actually had people texting in asking him to stop, and he flat out refused and kept going. So, you know, we get so stuck winning fandom that we just can't let it go. And, you would have heard it. I honestly wish you would have been listening because the first thing that popped into my mind was, what the hell would Dan say?
I would have texted him to stop, too.
Oh, that's Dan and I got to go. But hey, we're coming back tomorrow at 4 o'clock. Meet up here. While we're gone, you know the deal. SportsTimeRadio.com. People always go up over there tomorrow morning. So bring out that, take a look at that, catch up on anything you missed. The link to that takes you to the Facebook page. Bring out over there, too. You can get money there. What the heck, right? The Twitter feed is on SportsTimeRadio. Go to the game. I also want to look it up.
First time radio.